Masechet Betzah, Perek Bet, Mishnah Aleph. This Mishnah is going to talk about the prohibition of preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat when it comes to cooking. On a Deoraita level, really, cooking from Yom Tov Shabbat is allowed because we say a person is really cooking for the Yom Tov. And if he has guests arrive, he'll feed them. So if a person is just stam cooking without a reason, we could say maybe he's doing it because he's going to have unexpected people arrive at his house, he may have guests just show up, and therefore he has to provide for them. So therefore, when he's cooking on Yom Tov, and it becomes for the purposes of Shabbat, there's always the possible reason that he's doing it in order to provide his possible guests with food. So therefore, he's not doing something that is problematic. There's another opinion brought down in the Gemara that also, when you have a Yom Tov and Shabbat that are back-to-back, they become one extended Kiddushah, one holy day, and therefore it's permitted to cook from one day to the next. But the rabbis, Hachamim, prohibited cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat or Shabbat from Yom Tov because it becomes a zilzul of both days. It becomes a degradation of both. Rabbinically, we say that we want to protect Shabbat, the Shabbat that follows Yom Tov. If we said that a person's allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, he ends up getting so focused on the Yom Tov day itself that he forgets about Shabbat and you end up eating whatever's left over. So therefore, we say that you can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat because you won't do it correctly. You won't honor the Shabbat the right way. And then also the flip side, if we allow you to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, the whole day of Yom Tov is going to get wasted. The whole day of Yom Tov is going to be spent now focused on what the day is about. So therefore, the Hachamim restricted cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And this Mishnah will discuss the prohibition that they set in place. Mishnah says, Yom Tov shehal lihiyot erev Shabbat. If you have a Yom Tov that falls out on a Friday on erev Shabbat, lo yibashel batehila miyom tov la Shabbat. You should not, according to the Hachamim, cook from Yom Tov for the Shabbat. You shouldn't start your cooking at that point in time. Aval mevashel hu liyom tov v'im hotir hotir la Shabbat. Rather, you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov. And if you have any food left over from the Yom Tov food, you can then use it for Shabbat. If you want to put a little extra in as well, that would be permitted as well. So even though Hachamim prohibited cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat, they did say that if one started his cooking for Shabbat before the holiday, before Yom Tov actually started, then he could continue cooking on the holiday itself for the Shabbat. And they came up with the following mechanism, which we know as Eruv Tavshilin, in order to allow a person to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Mishnah says, V'ose Tavshil me'erev Yom Tov, v'somech alav le'Shabbat. But a person's allowed to prepare a cooked dish before Yom Tov starts for Shabbat and rely on it to cook from the Yom Tov to the Shabbat, since he started the preparation of the food before Yom Tov actually started, and he's doing it for the purposes of Shabbat, the Hachamim allowed him to continue cooking on Yom Tov itself. This arrangement, as we said, is known as Eruv Tavshilin. The rabbis here weren't concerned with the degradation of Yom Tov, because at the same time, the person, quote-unquote, is only finishing his meal. Therefore, since he's only finishing the prep of his meal, it's not considered to be starting it in a whole operation. It's only something small that has to get done, and he's finishing what he's doing, so he's not degrading the Yom Tov itself, and he's also starting, he's honoring the Shabbat, and not going to forget about it by starting his cooking for Shabbat before the Yom Tov even starts. There's another nervousness out there that if a person's allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, he'll end up cooking from Yom Tov to a weekday. But in this situation, we're not nervous that people would think that because he's only, again, allowed to finish what he began before Yom Tov. So it's not going to end up with a person cooking for a Yom Tov to a whole, to a weekday. The Mishnah continues in a machloket about how many dishes are needed to make an Eruv Tavshilin. Bet Shammai omrim, shene Tavshilin. Bet Shammai say, you need two cooked dishes in order to have an Eruv Tavshilin. Since a person usually eats two cooked meals at a Shabbat table, it wouldn't be him actually starting to prepare for Shabbat unless he had two of those dishes cooked. Bet Hillel omrim, Tavshil echad. Bet Shammai say, no, you only have to have one cooked dish. There are situations where a person only has one item, one cooked dish on Shabbat. So therefore, Beit Hillel say you only need to have one. Veshavin bedagu betza she'alav shehe en tavshilin. And they both agree. Beit Shammai agrees that when you have a situation where you have a fish that has an egg on top of it, that's considered to be two cooked dishes with an eruv tavshilin, even though they're cooked together. Person, you may say, Beit Shammai, he says two dishes has to be two totally separate entities. But we're seeing here that within his own world of two dishes, Beit Shammai is lenient and says there could be one dish that has two different components to it. Now we'll talk about issues that may arise with the food that was cooked for eruv tavshilin. Achalo o she'avad. If a person ate the eruv tavshilin that he prepared, or he lost it before he started to cook on the Yom Tov for the Shabbat, and therefore it's like he finished his cooking from the weekday that was supposed to be for Shabbat, he undid it and he finished it. So what does he do in that situation? Lo yivashel alav batechila. He's not allowed to rely on that eruv tavshilin in order to cook from the Yom Tov for Shabbat. It's like he's starting again to cook. If he started on Yom Tov to cook for Shabbat, he doesn't have anything that he's continuing. It's like he's starting new again. But if he started a dish on Yom Tov when the Eruv was still around before it got eaten, he's left to finish what he already started. And if he has some of it even that remained behind, let's say he had a pita bread, and he was eating that pita bread, and then he remembered that that pita bread was supposed to be for Eruv Tavshilin, even if there was just a little bit left over, he could rely on that to say that he's continuing his cooking. He doesn't have to say, you know what, I'm starting fresh. No, he could take that little pita bread and say, I had this pita bread from before Yom Tov started, so therefore, what I'm about to cook from Yom Tov for the purposes of Shabbat is a continuation of that baking or cooking from that pita bread. But we say also, Somech alav Shabbat, you can rely on that to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, that it has to be at least a kazayit, a minimum size that the Eruv Tavshilin has to be in the first place. He has to have a kazayit, olive size in volume, left over in order to continue cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Masechet Betzah, Perek Bet, Mishnah Bet. This Mishnah is going to talk about a person and dishes, kelim, being dipped in the mikveh before Yom Tov. There's an obligation for a person, letahir tatzmo baregil, to purify himself before the regalim arrive. A person is going to go to the Temple Mount, to Harabayit, to bring korbanot on the shalosh regalim. And therefore, he has to make himself somebody who is pure enough to enter the Bet HaMikdash and eat of the kodashim, of the sacred meats. His kelim as well, his utensils, which are going to be used for the korbanot, have to also be dipped. So here we'll talk about a situation where Yom Tov falls out on a Sunday, and that would make the day before Shabbat. So it's a Shabbat that goes into Yom Tov. If a person has to dip before the Yom Tov, what does he do in terms of dipping the day before is a Shabbat? Mishnah says, Hal lehiyot hara Shabbat. If Yom Tov is supposed to be after Shabbat on a Sunday, Beit Shammai omrim matbilin et hakol milifnei Shabbat. According to Beit Shammai, everything, a person and his utensils, have to be dipped before Shabbat even starts. That's 2 days before the Yom Tov. And the reason for that is, according to Beit Shammai, he's nervous that it's michzi kemetakin maneh, that it looks like something is being fixed, something is being repaired over here. When it comes to a person or a keli, they were both unable to do something. Now that they're going in a mikveh, they are now pure and able to now partake of the sacrifices. So therefore, it looks like something's getting repaired. So therefore, Beit Shammai says it's prohibited. Ubeit Hillel omrim, kelim milifnei Shabbat, ve'adam ba'Shabbat. According to Beit Shammai, no, not both of these items have to be dipped from even before Shabbat, from Friday. Kelim have to definitely be dipped before Shabbat arrives. So the reason that we gave above, that does look like you're mitaken keli, it looks like you're fixing something. But Adam ba-Shabbat, a man is allowed to dip on Shabbat the day before Yom Tov. It does not give off the appearance of fixing something when he goes to dip in the water. And we're saying even on Shabbat, to teach you that a man is allowed to go dip in the water to purify himself on the Shabbat day itself, which is usually looked at as a lot more strict when it comes to bathing. So according to Beit Hillel, since this gives off the appearance of maybe somebody is going to bathe, maybe he's going to cool himself down, so therefore it doesn't automatically look like somebody is dipping in a mikveh in order to purify himself. So therefore, according to Beit Hillel, it does not give off the appearance of somebody who is metaken, somebody who's fixing something.